This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is Free Talk Live. 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 This is Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Sorry about all of that. They were doing some things earlier, so the setup was not at all what I expected.
That was totally metal, man.
It was not, dude. I just heard those first three words just repeating endlessly.
I wonder if there's a way we could let people know that this is Free Talk Live.
They certainly know now. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
And the captain.
And it's
Ian. I'm off my game tonight.
Sorry about that.
I don't think the order really...
Passed the Ducci on the left-hand side?
I guess I didn't go over with you the board settings last week. I apologize.
You did. I just forgot everything had changed.
Okay.
And, you know.
And it's a full moon, so it's expected.
Is it?
It is a full moon. Okay. I don't know that that's expected, but, you know, they say things like emergency rooms fill up on the full moon, and there's more, like, cases of, like, domestic abuse on the full moon, and, you know, more people get called, or more cops get called to bars for, like, drunk people getting into fights and stuff on the full moon, so.
Is any of that actually true, or is that just, like, wives tales?
I mean, there's some evidence to support it, and I'm of the opinion that if a full moon can affect a human being biologically, then why wouldn't it affect humans, you know, in any other way, emotionally and all that kind of stuff? It can affect the tides. It affects, like, the female, you know, when it's their time of month. I don't know what I can get away with saying on the radio. But
you can get away with that.
That's all, you know, timed with the full moons and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if it can affect low tide and high tide, well, then certainly it should be able to affect humans.
I'm not sure, but I don't think the phase of the moon affects the tides, does it?
I don't know, but the
because the actual
phase,
mass of the moon doesn't change.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up again.
I do have good news for people, though. According to retired generals, the youth of America are just too fat to serve in the military. So, eventually, we won't have any soldiers.
No, they'll lower the standards.
That's probably what they'll do, but it's not just being too fat. That does seem to be the main issue, but they're warning the Pentagon that most of America's youth is too out of shape to defend the nation. The organization, known as Mission Readiness, wants the Pentagon to help set up an interagency committee to address what it considers the nation's military recruiting crisis.
Well, I mean, you could still use an overweight person as a, you know, defense.
As a bullet shield?
Yeah, they just absorb bullets.
Well, even like ammunition in a catapult.
Put them on fire. You got to light them on fire.
Light them on fire first and then catapult. I mean, that's effective, especially if they're screaming.
According to the Department of Defense, 71% of young Americans are unable to serve in the military, largely due to obesity, drug abuse, a poor education, or a criminal record.
It's largely due to obesity is redundant.
So there's not much more to say about that.
Didn't they lower the standard? I remember after, like, they did the second Iraq invasion, I remember we read stories on the air here on Free Talk Live that they lowered standards in some way. I don't think it had to do with weight, but I think it had to do with, like,
intelligence,
letting people with tattoos in. You know, they did, like, change their rules about who they would let into the military because I think they started letting people in even if they'd smoked weed. I think that was one of them, too.
Oh.
Like, you're not allowed to smoke weed in the military, but they were willing to let it slide if you'd smoked weed at some point in your life.
So was the military ever under the delusion that they were recruiting people who had never smoked pot at any point in their life?
Probably.
That's insane. But anyway, in other news, Captain, you have a list here, and everyone loves lists. This one in particular is about technology and things that we may not know about technology.
Yeah, I mentioned before the show started, when we were talking about show prep, that I consider myself an informed technologist. I've been in technology for most of my life in one way, shape, or form. And sure. I knew one of these 10 things from this list.
I only briefly looked it over. I didn't know either of the two that I saw.
Yeah, so I was surprised. This is a website I've never heard of before called GetConnected.com. That's G-A-T, Connected.com. It's 10 amazing little-known facts about technology. You know, it starts off with a little intro. Humans have done wonders with the progress of technology in the last century. Technology has put spectacular tools and resources in our hands to make our lives ever so convenient.
That's not entirely true. It just makes our lives busier.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it
yeah,
can.
It sure does.
New findings in the technical field are so frequent that it has become hard for many to catch up with the pace of inventions. I know I find myself having a hard time keeping up with the pace of technology. As fascinating as these technical wonders seem today, the stories behind them are even more interesting. Here are 10 such amazing little-known facts about the technology we use almost every day. Number one, the QWERTY keyboard was designed to slow down typing speed.
I've heard this one.
Yeah?
Okay. I've heard this one.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Because back in the old days with the clickety-clack typewriters, if you typed too fast, you'd get a jam in the process, right? Because of the way it... what do you call those things with the letters on them?
The arms?
Yeah, the arms.
Yeah.
Because each letter had an arm on it, and when you'd hit the key, it'd literally swing the arm at the piece of paper. Well, if you hit two of those arms at the same time, they'd collide.
Right. Because they're competing to fill the same letter space on the piece of paper.
I've used a typewriter before, but it was a modern one.
One of the electric ones?
I think it was no, it was not electric.
Okay. Then that's not that modern.
Well, like 1970s maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, my grandmother had, by today's standards, an antique typewriter with the ribbon. And it was the old cast iron looking thing. It was full black. And the arm, the throw of the keys was, I mean, it had to have been like a half a foot or something, mm-hmm. right? You'd really have to press and get one of those keys to like hit the page. And yeah, it was an interesting contraption.
Do you remember Whiteout?
Oh, yeah. It's still sold today, and I wonder why.
Somebody's still using a typewriter somewhere. I mean, you know, there's still those...
Isn't Whiteout primarily for, like, pens and stuff?
Whiteout was actually invented for typewriters. So if you made a mistake and the ink had, you know, put a wrong letter, you spelled something wrong.
Right, I'm familiar with the concept, but I've only ever seen people use it for pens.
We got to explain it for the Xennials out there. We have no idea what we're talking about.
I wasn't necessarily explaining it to you. I figured you knew what it was.
But Liquid Paper, wasn't that one of the brand names?
Liquid Paper, yeah, sure enough.
Yep.
So you are absolutely correct, Ian. That's exactly why the initial versions of typewriters made in the 1870s had some technical issues. The metal arms, which hold the characters, used to clash and jam if the keys were pressed in rapid succession or if a typist pressed the adjacent keys simultaneously. Mm-hmm. To avoid the problem and have better typing experience, Christopher Latham Scholes made many design alterations to the keyboard layout. The current layout of the QWERTY keyboards was finally designed by E. Remington and Sons.
Huh.
So it took apparently a whole family, I don't know, which solved the problem of the jammed type bars.
Any of you guys ever used the Dvorak keyboard?
I have not.
I've seen one, but I've never used it. Yeah,
I've never seen it. But it's apparently it's a different organization for the keys.
Right.
And the computer geeks say that this is the superior typing keyboard.
Is it the beta to the VHS now? Or?
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Or is it? Or is it like I hate the ergonomic keyboards?
Oh yeah,
right. The ones where it splits the QWERTY keyboard like in half, and
I haven't seen one
sort
of
bends
years.
It down a little bit so that like I know folks that's all they'll use is the ergo boards, and I can't use that at all. I gotta have it all like in a row, you know.
The trick with the Dvorak keyboards, from what I understand, is if you practice on a Dvorak, then all of a sudden you sit down at somebody else's computer, now you're back to QWERTY, and so you have to kind of like, you know, like knowing two different languages or whatever, you have to remember.
Yeah.
Gets tricky.
Nerds are weird. Didn't they make their own like logic based language? Do either of you know what I'm referring to?
Klingon? I have no idea.
Certainly not Klingon.
What was the question?
A logic based language. I don't remember what it's called. But it was basically invented by nerds. And,
didn't nerds invent Klingon, though? Didn't they, like...
Yes, they did.
Did they actually come up with a whole language for that?
It's called LogBan. That's it.
Huh.
Yeah, it's basically just them trying to create a new language that presumably no one speaks. But, hey, people do speak Klingon, so maybe someone out there actually does speak
Klingon. Some handful of nerds. They had them probably had, like, a conference back when you could have conference.
Kapla!
How bored do you have to be, though, to just like, I'm going to start a new language?
Somebody did at some point, right?
Yeah.
It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the new call-in line. That's 603-283-6160. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter. It takes 5 seconds. And tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series. From Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. promote.lrn.fm.
It's Free Talk Live. live talk radio that you control. Give us a call, 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria, Captain Kickass, and Ian. And I want to tell you about AnyPay, because AnyPay 2.0 is here. We all used it earlier when we bought tacos or burritos or whatever we bought from Taco Biondo.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
I got the grande size. I don't advise
that. It was massive.
I couldn't fit it. I can eat a lot, but it was.
Wow.
Yeah, more.
I didn't even know that existed there. I always thought the burrito was massive by default.
Well, and this is like three times the size of a normal burrito.
Like when you order the grande, it just kind of says like, you know, extra meat, extra cheese. You know, it's like an extra couple bucks or something on your order. And I didn't know that it was going to like double the size of the burrito, like or more. And so, yeah,
amazing.
So if you're using Edge Wallet, which I'm pretty sure all of us is what we use, Handcash, Bitcoin.com, or the Dash Wallet, then your experience will be like ours. Smooth and impressive. Wallet programmers need to hear from you, though, because some wallets like Coinami and I think Exodus and some others aren't compatible with this new technology. So visit AnyPayInc.com/upgrade to learn why some of these popular wallets are incompatible, and reach out to the wallet programmers and encourage them to make payments perfect at AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. Now, we're talking about technology here, and it's in particular things that we didn't know or may not have known. Ian knew that one about technology.
Yeah. I knew on this list, I knew one of the 10. And so if you'd have asked me, why is the QWERTY keyboard laid out the way it is, I would have surmised, taking a guess, that it was to increase typing speed. Right. Because I can't imagine, because I would have thought it'd be laid out ABCD, you know, in the style of the alphabet.
Sure.
What I would have thought. So
that would have been my assumption as well.
It was
to slow down speed, however.
Yeah. So on this list, this is again from getconnected.com, number two, water integrator, a computer that ran on water.
Now, I'm familiar with water cooling, but this is like using water as a power source?
Vladimir Sergeyevich Lukyanov, I'm probably butchering his name. Vladimir built the world's first computer in 1936 that solved different equations in partial derivatives. The amazing fact is that the machine was driven by water. The construction company that he worked with was unable to find a solution for the cracks that used to happen in concretes during winter's sub-zero temperature. To understand the thermal process better, Lukyanov researched the temperature conditions in concrete masonry. Finally, he built the water integrator machine that could plot graphs and help visualize the thermal process.
That is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I would not have thought to, like, hey, let's build a machine to, you know, plot a graph. That's manufacturing plants, research organizations, and educational institutes used the water computers well into the 1970s. The use of these hydraulic integrators diminished once digital computers became more powerful and convenient to use.
So it's not entirely true, then, that, you know, the original computers would fill an entire room. This one is pretty small looking at it. It looks almost like a calculator with the buttons exposed.
It does. It does look pretty large, though. You know, it wouldn't fill a room, but it's certainly the size of a large bookcase, according to the picture that they have here.
I never heard
website,
of that.
So, yeah, I did not know that either. And like you, I've heard of liquid cooling, particularly, you know, being around Bitcoiners. They talk about, you know, immersion to keep your miners cool and that kind of thing. There's certain kinds of oils that you can buy and all sorts of fun stuff that keep the electricity moving but keeps your machine cool. But I never thought that there'd be one, a computer that, you know, was driven by water as this one.
The next one is annoying, and I already hate what they originally did.
The first computer mouse was called XY Position Indicator for Display Systems.
God, a mouthful.
Yeah, I hate that so much. Can you imagine using an XY Position Indicator for Display Systems?
Hey, pass me the XY Position Indicator for Display Systems.
Yeah. Oh, man. What's going on with my computer? Oh, man, I think the battery's dead in my XY Position Indicator for Display Systems. The first computer mouse was invented at Stanford Research Institute, SRI, in the 1960s and called the XY position indicator for displays.
Could they not think of anything else to call it?
So, this is why you don't put the engineers in charge of marketing.
So, yeah, there's an interesting thing.
Why not just call it a pointer?
There's an interesting thing about nerds is that culture has influenced nerds more so since nerds became cool. Like Revenge of the Nerds, the movie, right, was right about the time when nerds and culture started mixing. Prior to that, nerds were just sort of like binary creatures, right? They had no creativity almost at all. Like imagination wasn't like part of their culture at the time, at least when I was growing up anyway. And so you would get things
nerds
like
this. Nerds have been making the technology that's been driving the world for centuries.
And in that way, the creativity is there. But when it comes to nomenclature, naming things and making it easy for end users to understand and giving it clever names or names that are cute and stuff like that, that didn't come around until more of the pop culture started influencing nerds. So
I will give them this. That name, the XY position indicator for displays, is extremely precise and accurate.
It is accurate. If you know the definitions of these things, then yes, it is an accurate description of what a mouse is. In fact, I'm surprised that the definition of computer mouse isn't, it's an XY position indicator for displays.
That needs to be, like, if you Google the definition of a computer mouse, that needs to be
yes.
the definition.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Douglas Engelbart and Bill English are credited with the innovation of the mouse. The story that Xerox APAC invented the mouse is a myth. Engelbart demoed the mouse the first time in 1968. Using the Xerox Alto computer, he termed the demo as mother of all demos.
Now, I know I'm way too young to have been there for that, but I cannot imagine a world where someone is demonstrating the invention of the computer mouse. I mean, I know it obviously had to happen, but it's just such a common piece of technology, such a daily part of my lives, and I can't imagine someone came along and was like, hey, look, guys,
check this
out. I invented this thing.
The mother of all, what was it?
Mother of all demos.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure people saw that and were just floored by it. But, man, that's wild to even think
of. Well, there's a lot that we take for granted today that was revolutionary or evolutionary when it first happened.
Yeah. The XY position indicator for displays was certainly one of those things.
Now, does it say in the story how the term mouse came about?
It does. The name mouse, it's the last paragraph in this item. The name mouse was coined for the instrument as the cable sticking out of it reminded Engelbart of a rodent's tail.
And now some of them are wireless, that it doesn't look anything like a mouse. They
right.
still are kind of mouse-shaped, though.
Yeah, like just looking over at the one you have there in front of you, I'm like, I could see how it kind of maybe looks like a mouse, but I think it was the cable, right? When all mice, when all mice were wired, that they looked far more like a mice, meese, moose.
Is the plurality of computer mouse actually mice?
I don't know.
I mean, nerds, they would call it mouses, right?
Just
to be annoying?
I don't know. That's why I stuttered there and stumbled. And I'm like, mice, moose, meese. I don't know.
I would assume it's mice.
I would have to assume it's mice, but who knows?
We can go with the fourth one. We can at least allude to it.
Wikipedia is maintained by thousands of bots.
I got to hear about that one, because I was under the impression that Wikipedia was maintained largely by users,
yes.
right?
Well, I know it's edited by users.
What are your thoughts
on
technology?
On
Do you know some weird random facts about technology? 603-283-6160,
603-283-6160. So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and LeVette wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work, so that was at a dead end.
DinoVite.com.
I've been hearing DinoVite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And, all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using DinoVite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on.
DinoVite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the DinoVite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves DinoVite for 90 days.
DinoVite.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday put off a vote on President Trump's call to boost COVID-19 relief checks and urged the Senate to override his veto of a defense bill. McConnell on Tuesday blocked Democrats' push to immediately bring the president's demand for a bigger $2,000 COVID relief check up for a vote, saying the chamber would begin a process to address the issue. The Senate is adjourned until 3 o'clock Eastern Time on Wednesday. A new, more contagious variant of COVID-19 has been found in Colorado. The Colorado State Laboratory says a patient who tested positive for the variant is a man in his 20s from Elbert County. Scientists believe the variant is more contagious than previously identified strains of the virus, but do not think it causes more severe symptoms. USA Radio News. President-elect Joe Biden is warning Americans the next few weeks will be the worst of the pandemic.
The next few weeks and months are going to be very tough, a very tough period for our nation, maybe the toughest during this entire pandemic.
Biden, speaking from Wilmington, Delaware, also asking Americans to mask up for the next 100 days.
It's not a political statement. It's a patriotic duty.
As the violence continues in Portland, police are at wit's end.
Portland, Oregon police officials are asking the public to help break the cycle of violence where shootings and murders have jumped exponentially. At least 850 shootings have been reported in Portland as of December 24th. That's up more than 116%, with 393 shootings reported in all of 2019. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And your final numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell, the Dow losing 68 points to close at 30,336. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
In HD on Twitch. Please follow and share at twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. Take control of the airwaves. Talk about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria, Captain, and Ian. And we're talking about little-known facts about technology. Evidently, Wikipedia is maintained by thousands of bots, whatever that means.
Wikipedia is maintained by thousands of bots.
Having not read this, I'm going to take a crack at what they mean. I'm going to guess that people have set up bots to monitor their favorite pages on Wikipedia, and if somebody makes a change to the page, the bot's instructed to change it back. That's my guess.
Who has a, what kind of a person has a favorite page on Wikipedia?
There are people who maintain certain pages, and they pay close attention to what goes on those pages. They argue over, like, you know, stuff. From what I understand, there's like a discussion page. I saw some of this
because my campaign logo ended up on Wikimedia, and they were arguing about whether or not it was allowable under fair use.
And you're like, please use my logo, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Right, yeah.
But one person did make the argument that, look, according to everything this person says on their website, she's not going to care about us using this. So Ian seems to be largely correct if we go ahead with this.
He's pretty close. Actually,
let me interrupt you because we did have someone calling in regard to Whiteout, actually.
Oh.
Pepsi, you're on Free Talk Live.
Pepsi?
Are you still with us?
Pepsi.
It seems like he's gone.
Yes,
he is.
Get out.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, you were muted. Go ahead.
Michael Nesmith from the Monkees.
Yeah.
Right? His mother invented whiteout.
Michael Nesmith from the Monkees' mother invented whiteout.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Funny. We were just talking about the Monkees like 2 hours
ago. What were we talking? Last Train to Question?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the Monkees.
I just chime in with that, all right?
Hey, thanks, man.
You guys have a wonderful end of year, all right? I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It's trivia night here on Free Talk Live.
Oh, evidently. Do you have any trivia about the Monkees? Because I don't know anything about
them. Well, so the Monkees, actually, they were a television show that was supposed to be the answer to the Beatles, right? The Beatles had gained such great popularity that some TV producers wanted...
The TV show existed before the band?
In fact,
formed the band for the show?
Yeah, in fact, none of the members knew how to play an instrument when the TV show came on.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, that music was all written by other people, and then the folks who played the Monkees had to learn instruments in order to go play concerts.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So it was a completely manufactured thing early on.
Before there were manufactured bands, these guys were the first one.
They may have been the first one. I don't know if they were the first, but they're the first one I was aware of. And I didn't know. I started watching reruns of the Monkees as a kid, along with all the other reruns that appeared on TV all the time. And then at some point, somebody pointed to an encyclopedia thing, an entry about the Monkees. It was in, actual Encyclopedia Britannica or one of those. And I was like, wow, that's weird. So, yeah, you can go Google that stuff if you don't believe me. But, yeah, The Monkees was a TV show invented to combat the popularity or take advantage of the popularity of
the Beatles.
And so, of course, they modeled the actors, sort of after the Beatles types of characters.
And they had, a funny show, if I remember.
They had a funny show about it. And then the actors themselves, when it came time for them to actually go put on a performance, had to learn how to play instruments and the songs that were written for them.
Amazing.
Yeah,
were they any good?
I never saw them live, songs are catchy. Yeah, the songs are catchy and very poppy, very Beatles-esque.
They're still active today, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, Mike Nesmith, he actually has done some really funny stuff over the course of his life. He's probably, I would say, the most active out of all of them. So
unbelievable.
So, Ian, you went to Wikipedia to discover this, and that's what we're discussing now is Wikipedia. Most of today's internet users are aware of what Wikipedia is. That's probably an understatement.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else is there?
It is a vast collection of crowdsourced information available online. It's common knowledge that the online encyclopedia is created and edited by volunteers. But do you know that there are thousands of bots, automated programs, that currently maintain the Wikipedia pages? Today, there are 2,468 bot tasks approved to carry out maintenance jobs on more than 52 million English Wikipedia pages. Wikipedia bots perform operations such as new page creation, spelling correction, style correction, etc. Bots can also revert the pages to the original version when edits are made due to vandalism. This is when somebody who's approved to make changes makes... changes that are either, in bad taste or untrue, that type of a thing.
Do you have to be approved to make changes on Wikipedia?
I believe you do.
I thought it was more crowdsourced.
I think you can be anonymous.
Yeah? I thought you had to, have your account approved before you could edit. You can get an account and put up your own stuff if it's about you or something that you're in, having had a band, I think at one point we had a Wikipedia page. I think it's gone now. But, I think the bass player was the only guy who could edit it for a while.
Okay.
So they have some sort of rules about, how you get to be able to edit. But anyone with programming knowledge can easily create bots for Wikipedia. However, these programs, the bots themselves, need to be approved by the bot approval group, or the bag, before they can maintain Wikipedia pages. So
the only thing I don't like about Wikipedia is every year, they ask for money. Right.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
You got to.
Yeah. And, I don't mind sending them cryptocurrency since they have it there as an option, but it never makes the request for money go away. As soon as I go back to it, it's there hitting me up for money again.
Huh.
And that irritates me.
I guess probably.
Because they have no way to, know that it was this IP address, this user, unless I'm going to sign in, and I'm not going to do that.
Right. I guess maybe if the cookie was left and your cookies weren't deleted, maybe that cookie could recognize that you had donated, but yeah, it is kind of annoying.
So what else?
How are they going to get money? Number five, you can visit the world's first web page even today. Tim Berners-Lee, a British scientist working at CERN, invented the World Wide Web in 1989. Really? I thought it was Al Gore.
Sorry.
It depends on who you ask. I've also heard it was the U.S. military.
Yeah. It took another 2 years for the world's first website to make its appearance. The first web page went live in 1991 and was hosted on a Next system at CERN. The amazing fact is that the first website is still available for you to visit. It serves as an historical archive for everything available online about the World Wide Web. Click here to check it out. I didn't click there. Can you click there?
Yeah, I clicked there. It's really bare bones.
Check out our website.
Is there a URL for it? I mean,
yeah, but it's long and stupid.
Oh, okay.
It's entitled World Wide Web.
It is. And it's just a
series of links.
Yeah. It would be interesting to go through this and see, you know, there's probably some fascinating stuff here, but I don't want to peruse it.
Nah.
Hey, can I tell you guys how I became a reverend?
Sure.
I got intoxicated one night. And then I
start.
And then I came home, and I was like, "Well, I'm not tired yet. I think I'll surf the web."
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, "What website have I never been to?" And I was thinking in my head, you know, because sometimes you could think of a website and go to it, and there's nothing there. Sometimes you go and you're like, "Oh, I'm surprised that's there."
Whitehouse.com. Remember when that was a porn site?
I do not.
Similar to that, I went to Satan.com.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, I've never been to Satan.com. What's there?
It's calling me.
Being a heavy metal fan, you know, that's imagery that surrounds, you know, the culture of heavy metal and that kind of thing. So I went to Satan.com, and what I found there, this is probably, probably 2002 or something like that, 2004 tops, was a page of advertisements, right? It looked like the back of, you know, one of these independent rags where it's just a bunch of squares, you know, with different advertisements in it. And so it was a whole bunch of advertisements of different things. And at the very bottom sort of left corner was, become an ordained minister for free. And so I clicked on that. It took me to the Church of Spiritual Humanism, and I filled out the form. First name, Captain, last name, Kick-Ass, and the rest is history.
Apparently, WhiteHouse.com is now a betting website where you can bet on the election.
Awesome. And sadly, Satan.com now automatically forwards to MyBible.com.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Someone needs to snag that up for them and fix that tragedy.
That is sad.
It is. Christians just can't let Satanists have anything, evidently. Even Satan.com. That's kind of a low blow, really.
It really is.
What's your religion? Are you an ordained minister? 603-283-6160. It's surprisingly easy here in New Hampshire, isn't it? It's like $25 in a form.
I don't know anything about that.
603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. 603-283-6160 is the call-in line. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria and the headbanging
Captain.
And Ian. And I want to tell you about Freedom's Phoenix. It's a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. So if you want the newest and freshest stories and perspective on current events from those who value liberty, then freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, or government overspending. Plus, you know, the rise of the police state. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Let's go to the phones. We've got Rob calling from Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Rob.
All right. So, you guys were talking about, you know, the different things with computers and stuff like that. And I remember, I don't know, probably around between 78 and 1980, that the computers they had back, you loaded it with a cassette tape.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And all you could play that I remember was Pong.
Yes. That was my first gaming console. Pong.
Yeah. Pong.
There was one game. It was Pong. Yeah. There were no other games for this console. It was just the one game.
And it was great, right?
It had like four switches and two controllers. My biggest gripe was the controllers, the cable, because they weren't wireless. The cable wasn't long enough to get far enough away from the controller.
I don't even have a mouse either.
No. Nope.
You mean an XY position indicator
for displays, right?
And then, remember the phone bag?
The what?
Phone bag. You're talking about the cell phone, the old cell phones?
Yeah, it's like a big, about the size of a briefcase.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, the trunk phones.
You know, but I think that, you know, because we're into 2021, that I think that we're a lot more smarter than what we were, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And I'm kind of feeling, you know, I remember back in the 60s. And I know that it was a TV show, but Star Trek, you could teleport. Why can't we do that today?
I know, right?
Fascinatingly, a scientist at CERN actually did recently teleport quantum particles.
That's a start.
But I mean, human beings. So.
I have
hey,
a theory.
You volunteer for the test, Rob? Well, Star Trek isn't set in the year 2020. You know, I think the original was set in like 23, the 24th century.
I should know this because I was a huge
fan. Question is, when if you if they can successfully teleport an object or a person or an animal, will that person still be the same? Like, will you still have your consciousness about you when you're recreated, when your body is
There's only
recreated?
One way to find out, pal.
I know. That's what I say. Is Rob willing to volunteer for the study? You know, who's going first?
I'm not sure I would want to go first. Rob, thank you for the call. That's a really fascinating topic because it really depends on whether or not you believe in the soul, right?
Uh-huh. But what is consciousness? What is it?
Yeah.
Or personality, at least, right? You know, whatever you want to call it.
But like, that would be that's just, you know, kept inside your brain in chemicals and proteins. That would be transported as well.
In theory.
Well, that's what you believe consciousness is.
Right.
I see no reason to believe otherwise.
Well,
there's
no evidence for anything about what consciousness is. I mean, it could very well be the universe that's like beaming into your brain and you're like receiving it somehow. I mean, who knows what consciousness is?
I read something recently that speculated that dreaming is actually you traveling into multi-dimensions.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw something about dreaming and sleep and consciousness earlier. I'll see if I can find
Now, I wanted to answer Rob's question, though. He's like, why can't we teleport now? Well, there's a whole bunch of things that when I grew up, they said we'd have by the year 2000, right? Like flying cars. Everybody would have a flying. No, we don't have that.
Well, that's the government stopping now.
Robot maids. We'd all have robot maids that do your dishes and laundry. No, you got Roomba. That's not a freaking robot maid. That's a dustbuster on wheels. That's a radio controlled dustbuster. That's not a robot maid.
Did you ever see the video where the Roomba tries to clean up some dog dew?
Yes.
Oh, man.
It was. But everywhere.
But you actually answered the question. The answer is government, because what has happened with the tech explosion isn't that people have been more free to create and more inventions have come to market and our lives have been greatly improved. No. The one thing that has expanded more than anything else with all of the technology that's come forth, you know, since, you know, from the 60s until now, is the expansion of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
I was promised hoverboards, and I still don't have hoverboards.
Right?
That's my biggest grievance.
No, they have a product called a hoverboard, but it's not
the deal. It doesn't really hover,
though.
Yeah.
It's just a catchy name for it, I guess.
Hovercraft? They have some of those, I guess.
You never see many people talking about hovercrafts anymore.
But they're more like, you know, glorified boats, you know, because they're sort of amphibious. They can airlift. They only airlift. It's kind of like a land speeder from Star Wars, not Trek. And so it kind of operates in that. I have seen some large-scale drones that purport to carry passengers. So they're basically like the drones that, you know, the toy drones that you get for photographing from the sky.
Yeah.
They're just like that, except bigger. That can carry more weight. So in theory, a pilot or two people can get into one of these and, you know, carouse around the sky.
Is it really a drone if it carries people?
Depends on the pilot.
Well, it's not an unmanned drone at the very least.
Yes.
Captain, you still have your tech article in front of you? I'm looking for the sleep article, but it's on Drudge Report, and trying to find a particular article on there is sometimes unpleasant. We're talking about technology and 10 amazing little-known facts about technology. I don't know. I don't think I'd call them amazing.
These are trivia.
Yeah. But it's interesting stuff anyway.
I do not... closed on me, so sadly.
Well, evidently, Apple once forayed into the apparel business. Now, this is no surprise to me, because Apple makes fashion products. They call it technology.
They've had a ton of failures. I mean, this is probably just one of their myriad of failures.
So today, Apple has made its own distinguished name in everything they do, which is, again, fashion products. Check out the Mac OS, the MacBook, iPod, or iPhone. The company always wants to create an isolated ecosystem.
Ecosystem.
No, they said ecosystem.
Oh, really?
For its own, and has successfully maintained it that way. However, Apple had a clothing line in 1986. The collection was called the Apple Collection. It is unimaginable today that Apple was once into the apparel business. This
Not
article
says. Not unimaginable at all.
No, it fits totally 100% with everything else they do.
I mean, don't they have Apple stores? I'd be shocked if they didn't have a t-shirt in there somewhere. I've never been to one of them, but, you know.
I think those are reserved for the geniuses.
Maybe.
over what they call geniuses.
They call it their associate name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call it the Genius Bar, but they don't serve alcohol. I hate that. I should be able to go to the Genius Bar and get a beer.
Yeah, I don't even know enough about the Apple. So you've actually been to this place before? The
Apple Store, yeah. Right, where you go for, like, support of your device, or yeah. If you break it or whatever, you take it to the Genius Bar, and then they, do whatever they do. They log you into the computer and, take care of your problem or whatever, and then, they send you on your way either with a new phone or, warranty or something like that. But it's called the Genius Bar, but there's no real bar to it.
I can't imagine working at a place where my title was, quote, genius. That's almost as disgusting as, working at a place that says, heroes work here right outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like to take the H and turn it to the side and then kind of make the H a little on the angle there. So it says, zeros work here.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So Google was also up for sale in 1999.
This is the one that I knew.
Okay.
Yeah. Larry Page wanted to sell Google to Excite in 1999.
Huh.
The deal was struck around $750,000 and 1% of Excite.
Damn.
I don't even remember what Excite was. They were one of the search engines, right? Yeah. But the deal fell apart. Today, Google's market cap is over $700 billion.
Wow.
Can you imagine buying something for like the cost of a a regular house in Seattle that's now worth over $700 billion?
Sure. Why not? If you bought Bitcoin early on.
There are two versions of the story around why Excite did not buy Google at the time. As per then Excite CEO George Bell, he rejected the deal because Larry Page insisted that Excite should replace all its search technology with Google search technology. However, as per the details given by Stephen Levy in his book, In the Plex, George Bell was not very happy with Google's search algorithm's excellent performance. Bell thought Google's relevant search results might take the users away to other websites, which means it'll be harder to retain the users on their own.
Wasn't that the point of searching? I thought that was the point of searching, was to go to other websites.
Yeah, here's a quote from Stephen Levy. If Excite were to host a search engine that instantly gave people information they sought, he explained, the users would leave the site instantly. Since his ad revenue came from people staying on the site, stickiness was the most desired metric in websites at the time. Using Backrub's technology would be counterproductive.
Apparently, Excite ended up being purchased by Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves didn't turn out well. Does it still exist?
I haven't asked him in a while.
603-283-6160 is the call-in line. Let us know whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this, right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world, so I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, connect with others via the forum at ShireSociety.com. That's Shire Society.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.